It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Well, you know, it's a great life, and it is a great time to be living for the Lord. Well, any time is a great time to be living for the Lord, and that is why we get saved, so we can live for the Lord. Now, the byproduct is this, when we get saved, if I can call it a byproduct, is that God has promised us eternal life, and He's also promised that He will take care of us, and that He's preparing a place for us, that when we go to be with Him, our place will be ready. Well, we left off last time talking about the heirs of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." That doesn't mean that everybody suffers when they get saved. That doesn't mean that at all. It means that we have a lot of compassion, the compassion there. And I believe that compassion needs to be focused upon the lost souls of this world, of telling other individuals about Jesus Christ. So therefore, the part of that verse that I get excited about is that we are now heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs. And as heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, we who are saved will be taking our rightful place alongside Jesus during the millennium in our resurrected, glorified bodies. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We will see Him as He is because in our glorified bodies, we're going to be able to see more and clearer than we've ever seen before in our lives. It's going to be so great, and we're going to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, once again, we talked about someone ruling and reigning with Christ during the millennium. There's actually three classes who will rule and reign with Christ. Now, when I say class, that doesn't mean that one has more authority than the other. I'm simply saying there are three different groups or individuals that will reign with Christ during the millennium. Now, when we think of this, the first ones I see are the saints, the bride of Christ. And we see this in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. The first part of that verse says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." Well, we study the Word of God, and we find out, if we read Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Well, there are possibly three different interpretations of who these elders are that we read of in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4. I personally believe that it's a representation of the church. We see as we go into chapter 4 of the book of Revelation how that heaven is opened. And I believe that is an indication that we are going up at the beginning of chapter 4. And we also will receive crowns of gold because we have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, first of all. And then at the judgment seat of Christ, we will receive rewards. Now, some will receive rewards and some will suffer loss. That means there'll be a loss of reward, a reward they could have had, and possibly they did have, but they lost through sin, negligence, or whatever while on this earth. But that, I believe that when we look at those 24 elders on those seats, on those thrones, I believe we're looking at a representation of the church, the people of God, the saints, the bride, Revelation 20 and verse 4. And then I believe also we see the tribulation saints in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. It says, "And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. I believe that's speaking of the tribulation saints and also those who are beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God. And we also look in those who have not worshipped the beast or received his mark, according to Revelation 20 and verse 4. Well, the church will reign with Christ in glorified bodies like his. The church evidently is the is, I believe, the first people, the first class mentioned there in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Now, notice with me, if you would, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28, where it says, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles will not sit on the throne during the millennium. Some people get this mixed up. Matthew 19:28 is not speaking of the millennium, but of eternity. And notice the word regeneration in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. It means to form again. And you know that by studying the Word of God, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth after the millennium. So I believe they will sit upon the throne then. And let me ask this question to you. Is the New Jerusalem heaven? Well, this is something that we'll talk about in our study as we continue on speaking about and studying about the millennium. And before we continue on, let me add this. And I think it's necessary for us time to time to go back and to look at what a dispensation is. A dispensation. Now, remember, God has always had a plan. And this plan, he has seen working through different dispensations. Now, a dispensation does not depend upon a specific period of time, but rather how man takes care of God's economy. In other words, his property. God owns everything. And it's during a period of time, now, once again, as we view time, man has been left on earth to take care of God's world. It's a stewardship arrangement between God and man. Man is God's steward. God has endowed man with the ability to take care of his, and that's God's property, through what we would call dispensation. Salvation in every dispensation has been the same. God has always dealt with man concerning salvation through every dispensation the same way. Man has always been saved by grace, by the grace of God, through the shed blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. There has never been another way to heaven other than through Jesus. This is the way, the only way of salvation, and it was instituted before the foundation of the world. And you can read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, and it talks about that. Well, what is a dispensation not? Well, a dispensation not is not a different means of salvation. I've already mentioned that. Everybody's saved the same way. It's not a certain period of time. Now, we view things differently. We see things happening during a period of time, but that's not the way a dispensation is to be viewed. It's not a certain period of time, with the exception of what I believe to be two dispensations that many do not recognize as dispensations. And those dispensations are the tribulation and the millennium. That's a period of time that we look at, 7 years of tribulation, 1,000 years of the millennium. Well, a dispensation is not eternity past. This would be God alone. It would be man alone. So we see that a dispensation concerns God and man, not simply God alone or man alone, but it concerns both God and man. Well, it's sad to say that man has failed God. Man has always tried to blame someone else or something else for his problems. Man either blames God or someone else in his life or her life. A man has no one to blame for his or her problems except himself or herself. Eve put the blame on someone else in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 13, for she blamed the serpent. Adam put the blame on someone else in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12. He blamed the woman. Now, men have been shifting the blame ever since the Garden of Eden. Well, it's man's failure. Notice that the kingdom age proves that man cannot blame anyone but himself. This is another reason for the millennium. Often men try to blame society for their problems. Man says this, all you need to do is to eliminate poverty, build better homes, rid the world of sickness, remove crime from our streets, and so forth. And if we do these things, all our problems will be solved. A man is basically good, they say, but it is our bad society that makes man so bad. You see, man always says if we could only have a perfect environment to live in, this would be the answer. Well, what does the Bible say about man? Romans chapter 3 and verse 12 says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Psalm 14:3 says, they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Psalm 53:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Psalm 53 and verse 3, every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Mark chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? Jesus said, there is none good but one, that is God. Man, you see, will not be able to blame society during the kingdom age. Everything will once again prove that God is right, God is righteous, he's holy and just. Well, what about the blame? Man will not be able to blame the government because there will be a perfect government. There will be a theocracy. Jesus Christ will be reigning. Man will not be able to blame his problem on ignorance because the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9, it says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I wonder today, are you blaming God for your problems? Are you blaming anyone else for your problems? Now, we all have problems to an extent. Who are you blaming? Are you blaming anyone else but yourself? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And that includes me. That includes you. And if you've never acknowledged that you're a sinner, then you need to do that right now. You need to confess to God that you know you're a sinner. And let me say, have you ever lied? The Bible says if you've lied, you're a sinner. Have you ever stolen anything? If you've stolen anything, you're a sinner. You are a sinner because you were born into this world a sinner. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to confess sin to God and say, God, forgive me of my sin. I acknowledge my sin, and I want to be saved. I want to serve you, Lord. And one day, I want to be in heaven with you. I want to see you one day. Thank you, Lord. Save my soul right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.